KRWNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are at Mako in Ocean City, Maryland. It's our 27th anniversary. We're eating all kinds of good things, but I'm not eating anything right now. I'm spitting nails because our senator is here, Chris Van Hollen, who I have watched your journey over the last 7 or 8 months on behalf of democracy and flying around. I think you know this, my last name. Everybody in my audience knows. I'm a son of an immigrant, a Venezuelan immigrant. I have brothers who were born in Venezuela and live here and are citizens here. I have grave concern about every status you put up. I have grave concern that as I'm sitting with my sitting senator right now, the President of the United States is playing footsie with Vladimir Putin on America. Senator, you know, everything that's happened here the last 8 months and Putin and what's happening right now, respond to the fact that the President of the United States is meeting with Vladimir Putin. What's wrong with that?
Well, Nestor, there's so much to talk about, but let's start with that. The reason this is a problem is because from day one, Donald Trump said he was going to end the war in Ukraine, but what he's done instead is further empower Vladimir Putin. And Putin has played Donald Trump like a fiddle. And he has played for time, and during that time, Putin has actually advanced his army further into Ukraine. Donald Trump keeps making noises about how he's going to push back. He says he's going to support this bill we have in Congress to impose sanctions, bigger sanctions on Russia. But when we get ready to do it, he sends the signal up to Republicans in the Senate, no, don't do that. He backs off. Now he is actually making Putin's day by allowing Putin to meet with him one-on-one, exclude Zelensky, and symbolically exclude the people of Ukraine, not include our allies in Europe, and to do it on American soil. So just the spectacle of this is a win for Vladimir Putin.
As it was for Kim Jong-un the first time
around. It was for Kim Jong-un. Look, you know, I believe in dialogue, but you want to have a dialogue that can lead to some positive outcome. And here, everything that Donald Trump has said and done up to this point is to throw the Ukrainian people literally under the bus and threaten them and essentially say, you know, Putin's a great guy. Then, of course, Putin drops some more bombs. And then, you know, Trump says, ooh, maybe that's not so good. But he doesn't do anything. This is the problem, and Putin knows it.
The Trump thing the second time around, since last time we got together, I think you said something really profound to me last year. You looked at me and you said, in this space, journalist, most dangerous job in the world, is what you said to me this time last year. I think it's even more dangerous now in regard to Trump being in control of the country again. I'm just stunned the second time around that this has happened, that we're back doing this all over again after the plague.
Well, we are, and if you listen to Donald Trump, he thinks that, you know, journalists are like the enemies of the people, when in fact journalists are the people we rely on to make sure we have transparency, which helps lead to accountability. If you look at a White House press conference these days, you can see that they begin to stack it with people who are just, you know, Trumpers, right? They're people who are essentially mouthpieces for Donald Trump. If you ask him any question that challenges his policies in any way, he attacks you. If you ask him a softball question, he embraces you. And of course, he attacked public radio and public TV, which are public goods, and he attacked them because he doesn't like people who report the facts. This is a president who hates the facts. I mean, he just fired the guy at the Bureau of Labor Statistics because he didn't like the facts that he assessed with respect to the state of jobs in the economy. So this is a president who wants to essentially have everybody believe what he says when he lies through his teeth all the time. So press is more important than ever. And he's not standing up for the press around the world either. I mean, I think it's a very important priority for an American president to support freedom of press here at home, but also around the world.
Chris Van Hollen is our guest. He is our sitting senator. All right, let's get to ICE and immigration. Get off of Trump. But it's all Trump. I mean, it just is. I mean, your seat, you're playing defense in this civil war. I don't even know what else to say. It's kind of uncivil, quite frankly. I've seen pictures of you at doorways of ice. Can you tell me and our audience what you're seeing, your trip to Central America, all of that? What are you seeing that people need to know about, our citizens need to know about, and what you're not seeing that our citizens need to know about, which might even be more important?
Well, look, Nestor, I know your great Venezuelan roots, and if you look at America over our history, a lot of our vitality comes from waves of immigrants. And what the president is doing right now is an attack on immigrants. And I do want to step back just to frame this issue. All of us, I believe, certainly I do, believe in strong border security. I have been working at the federal level for years to try to pass comprehensive immigration reform. So we have a sane immigration system. And I'm not going to go through the whole history of this, but I do remember when Senator McCain had a bill back in the day that would have created a comprehensive immigration reform, good border security, good legal immigration system. Passed the Senate, came to the House. The Speaker of the House at the time was John Boehner, a Republican. He didn't even let it come to a vote. So we've had a broken system. What Donald Trump is doing now is going after people who pose zero threat to our communities and countries for the most part, and people who've lived here for a long time. Now, he says he's going after the worst of the worst. If that were true, that would be appropriate, right? People who've committed crimes or pose a threat to public safety, they need to be held accountable. No argument. But if you look at ICE's own data, and by the way, I went to the ICE facility in Baltimore City just the other day. If you look at their data, their own data says that 84% of the people they are rounding up and shipping to detention centers around the country pose zero threat to public safety. Zero threat. This is ICE data. So I asked the people at the Baltimore Detention Center, the president says he's going after the worst of the worst. They must have given you a definition for who those people are so you can really focus on those people. Well, of course they haven't, because that's not who they're focused on. They're focused on everybody. That's how
that you looks like me.
Yeah, looks like you, has a pastor. There was a pastor on the Eastern Shore. There was a, you know, there are people all over our state and all over the country who have lived here for decades in some cases, who are incredible contributors to our community.
Pay taxes?
Pay Social Security taxes, pay other taxes. And these are the people, overwhelmingly, again, 84% pose no threat to public safety, who are being locked up and detained by Donald Trump and ICE. In the process, we also see many people being deprived of their due process rights. And that was the case with Kumar Abrego Garcia. And anybody who disagrees with me should look at the 9-0 decision from the Supreme Court. We don't get many of those from a Trump-stacked Supreme Court. 9-0 said the Trump administration had violated his constitutional rights and ordered the Trump administration to facilitate his return to the United States. And he is back now, despite the fact the Trump folks said he would never come back. So that's a longer story. But my point here, Nestor, is Trump is claiming that he's going after these people who are like hardened criminals, violent threats to our community. And in overwhelming number of cases, like 84% by their own numbers, this is a lie. And so I do believe the American people across the political spectrum are very uncomfortable and don't like what they're witnessing, because they were sold the idea that he's going after the violent criminals only. And instead, he's going after people who are, you know, part of the fabric. And I would say, even for people who don't, you know, want to focus on this for the humanity of it, right? We have to ask ourselves who we are. Do we really want to be throwing out, you know, people who are small business owners and have families?
And these are humans.
These are human beings, right? If you don't, but even if you don't care about the humanity of it, to your point, these are people who are paying taxes. And we're here on Maryland's Eastern Shore.
They're picking the food that's your dinner.
Maryland's Eastern Shore depends on a lot of these laborers. And now you hear Donald Trump's folks in his administration saying, well, we're hearing from the farming community around the country. Do you think we should give an exception to the farming community? Well, that just shows the hypocrisy of this whole thing, if he's going to start doling out favors to preferred, you know, industries or sectors.
Did you vote for me? Or are you in a red state?
Yeah. So, right. This just shows how cynical their approach has been. And for those, now they're having to backtrack. So they set a quota, as you know, Nestor, right? Steve Miller, this is the president's guy on this, really, really terrible, dark person. But he set a quota of 1,500 people being detained each day. 1,500 people. So there's obviously a huge inconsistency between saying you're going after the worst of the worst and you got a quota to go after 1,500 people. They even talked about giving bonuses to some of the ICE folks, the more people they took. Now, this got them in a little trouble.
ICE people are. Yeah. Like, I'm wondering how they get hired, how they get identified, what their background checks are to be pulling humans off the street without identification and denying them due process and their rights.
Well, we certainly should be setting up some clear rules of engagement. That's why I'm part of a piece of legislation that requires that people not be able to just come snatch someone off the street without showing you identification and wearing a mask. I mean, we've all seen pictures of people coming up with masks and no identification. And
I'm seeing video after video after video.
So you know, this that should not be happening in America. And yet this is what the Trump administration is doing.
When you signed up to be senator, I don't think you even thought that this was possible, that a president of the United States would have you down in Central America trying to defend someone's 9-0 due process rights per the Supreme Court. That would be part of your job. The things we talked about 8 years ago when you came in at coffee with me over at Catonsville, that we'd be, this is where we are. It's insane.
Look, we've seen a lot of ups and downs in our history over time, but this is a period of time where we see a completely lawless president of the United States, right? He was asked whether or not he had to comply with the Constitution. You remember his answer? I don't know. This is the president of the United States.
He took an oath, man.
He took an oath, and now what we're witnessing, look at his power grab in the District of Columbia as we speak. He's essentially abusing this law, claiming an emergency. He didn't intervene with the National Guard in time for the January 6th insurrection and riots against the Capitol. That was an emergency. Now he's manufacturing an emergency so that he can try to federalize the D.C. police force. This is an abuse of power, and we all need to stand up together.
What are you finding when you're finding these immigrants? What is Alligator Alcatraz? What does that look like in downtown Baltimore? What does that facility look like?
So in downtown Baltimore, they pretend it's not a detention center. Just take a second here. It's supposed to be, quote, a holding facility where people are processed in transit to these bigger detention centers. And under their rules, there was a limit of 12 hours in which they could hold somebody in the Baltimore, what they call the holding facility. Well, it turns out because they were snatching up so many people, they were keeping people from more than the 12-hour standard. And so they had to get a waiver. From who? Christy Noem. So now it's 72-hour standard, but they're exceeding that in many cases. So when I went there, that was one of my big questions.
Beds, water, bathroom, food,
well,
all of that, right?
What's the longest someone's been here? Because I've seen public reports of like 8 days. Now, the reason this is important is because that clearly is a detention center, right? And they're trying to claim it's not because they wanted to deny us entry. Because the statute, federal statute, says members of Congress, as part of their oversight responsibilities, can go to these detention centers and inspect them. But they wanted to claim it wasn't, which is why they locked us out the first time. They obviously looked at the law and must have realized that was a bad idea. So we went in, and, you know, my biggest concern is, first concern is so many people being snatched up, you know, are not the worst of the worst. And the second concern is, these people who are in the Baltimore detention center, they have real trouble accessing their lawyers. Even family members have a difficult time getting in, and they have to get them to sign a privacy release in order for ICE to tell any of us what's happening in their case. And it's hard for them to get the privacy release to their loved ones or their detainee. So this is the Baltimore center is one cog in a really awful system that's being used to violate, in many cases, people due process rights. That's where Kilmer Abrego Garcia, that was his first stop before they sent him to another state and then Texas and then to CECOT, the gulag in El Salvador.
Chris Van Hollen, our time is short. I got to let you go. I do want to talk about Gaza with you at some point, so come get a crab cake with me because I hear you getting named. I see you getting you called names on the internet about trying to stop a genocide.
And it's
a longer issue than that. I want to give you a chance to defend yourself, but come back and get a crab cake.
Well, let's just say one word about this, first of all, because I think it's important, and you just raised it. As I've said from the very beginning, right, after the horrendous Hamas attacks of October 7th on Israel, that Israel obviously has a right to defend itself. It has a duty to defend itself and go after Hamas. What they don't have a right to do, and what is not just, is to hold all the Palestinian people, including 2 million in Gaza, responsible and to impose collective punishment on all of them. And when you start withholding food and humanitarian assistance as a weapon of war, that is collective punishment. That is not justified. But that is what has been happening, and that is why you see people who literally have died of starvation. And my view is that while the Netanyahu government, and let's be clear, we're talking about government actions here. A government, by the way, that is not very popular right now in Israel.
And one that we're supporting greatly.
Including the hostage families who were protesting, the majority of them outside of Netanyahu's offices. You have a government there that is using American taxpayer dollars for bombs that they're dropping in Gaza at the same time that they are cutting off access to humanitarian aid. American taxpayers should not be funding bombs for Gaza while the Netanyahu government is using food as a weapon of war and humanitarian assistance as a weapon of war, period.
Well, I can't disagree with any of that, you know. Thank you. I know you got to go. Chris Van Hollen, our senator. We're back for more in Ocean City, Maryland, right after this. We're at Mako. Stay with us.